Hey everybody, this is Alex Amorosi. I am in today for Adam Ellenboss, who is on vacation, and I am taking over the Nightlight Astrology news desk to do your Venus in retrograde in Leo horoscopes for all 12 rising signs. I am super grateful to Adam for entrusting me with this wonderful community and doing this video for all of you. I think we're gonna have a really good time. So as Adam likes to say, before we get into it, go ahead and like and subscribe to the channel and help it grow. Nightlight Astrology has been a huge influence on me as a practicing astrologer and just my general love of astrology. So please do support the channel. And head to nightlightastrology.com to check out Adam's readings and all of his wonderful classes. If you don't know me, my name is, as I said before, is Alex Amorosi. I've been doing the updates with Adam every month. For the rising sign horoscopes, and sometimes we do the just general transits for the month together too. I am an astrologer, an intuit, an energy worker, a Reiki practitioner, yoga teacher, and spiritually based coach. You can get information on all my services at www.alexamorosi.com. And you can just check out my services and readings and all the things that I do there. There are two services that I just added that I'd like to fill you guys in on. I do a combination astrological intuitive reading for my clients now. It's been hugely popular. It's basically taking the best of my astrological capabilities and the best of my intuitive abilities and kind of fusing them together and bouncing back and forth between them for the reading. And I also offer a 30-minute mini reading now, really good for those of you who really know astrology well, you know your chart well, maybe you have a transit coming up that you just want to get a second opinion on, or you want to look at something intuitively, but you don't really have a lot of material for a full reading, just have a quick question. So I offer the 30-minute option as well. All right, so Venus is retrograde in Leo. This is exciting. I'm excited for this retrograde for a couple of reasons. I'm going to give you a little bit of a general overview, and then I'll take you through specifically each sign and what I see in terms of the house placements for the retrograde and the aspects that Venus is making. But one thing I would just suggest is going back to summer of 2015 and checking out what was going on then in terms of life themes. Venus goes retrograde in just about the exact same part of the zodiac every 8 years. The retrograde just moves back about 2 degrees every 8 years. So it's very, very close to exactly where it went retrograde in 2015. I think this retrograde began at zero of Virgo in 2015. Go back and check out that time. What were the themes that were coming up for you? What were the action items on your list? What was going on in your life, especially around Venus ideas? Relationships, sexuality, pleasurable ideas, value. We're going to talk a lot about Venus today in terms of what you value and how we relate. So those sorts of ideas, and that can actually, that's why one of the reasons Venus includes money, right? Is this idea is like how we value, what we value, why we value it, and how we create is a big Venus topic as well. Venus is in the mystery schools, the first time that consciousness was able to perceive other than itself and other than what is happening, other than the now. And in order to create, we've got to create beyond, right? We have to see beyond what is actually in reality now. So that's where Venus is one of the ways we can think about Venus in terms of creativity. So we're going to look at this retrograde in its own right, but just take a look at 2015 and see what's similar themes that are arising now and see if those themes as they're arising, there's a sense of like, you know what, I just gotta like put whatever this issue is to bed, right? Whatever is coming up, I'm really feeling an urge now to take some strong action on it. That's Pluto's background presence in this retrograde, which I'll show you in a second when I pull the chart up. But I think Pluto is a little bit of an unsung hero. I know that sounds like when you're talking about Pluto in this retrograde, but very Pluto-like, is kind of in the shadows in the background. But Pluto also will add for us during this retrograde cycle a really nice sense of whatever I've been putting off, have felt too scared to deal with, it would never be dealt with, those sorts of ideas, kind of general procrastination or fear that's coming up. Pluto tends to take those issues right up to the surface and says, oh, guess what? Deal with it, right? That sort of idea. And then we'll look at, you know, Venus is also going to make her retrograde square to Uranus, retrograde square to Jupiter as well. So we'll take a look at that. Let me actually pull the chart up before I just talk and talk and talk. So this is what you get when you get a Sag sun and a Leo rising coming in for a Cancer sun and a Capricorn moon. All right. So here we are about July 22nd. So here on the East Coast of the United States, Venus will be setting up to go turn retrograde in the evening of Saturday, July 22nd. All right. And so depending on where you are in the world, it'll adjust for your time zone. Okay. What I think is really interesting about this, friends, and this is why I say Pluto is the unsung hero. Here's the sun opposing Pluto, just about to move into Leo, right? Pluto is retrograding Capricorn right now. So you got the sun, 29 Cancer, Pluto at 29 Capricorn. And look at this, we have the nodal axis at 29 Libra and 29 Aries, right? So a grand cross between the sun, Pluto, and the nodes. That is going to deeply color this retrograde because the sun is Venus's host, right? So whatever's going on right as the cycle begins, we want to pay attention to that because it kind of colors some of the themes that we go through. Now, the other thing that I think makes Pluto really strong in this retrograde is that Venus opposed Pluto when Pluto was still in Aquarius, just as she entered Leo in June, right? So there's a tinge of Plutonian type ideas here, like really bringing up, and you know, Pluto, I know we kind of freak out when we hear about Pluto, but Pluto as our ally is it brings things up that are sort of past their expiration date in our psyches and our lives and moves them out, okay? So I do like it, even though you might feel some of the like deeper, more intense aspects of the Plutonian themes. I think it's a wonderful sort of cathartic moment for moving through the themes of this particular Leo part of Venus's 8-year retrograde cycle. Okay. So, okay. Who says that? Okay. Okay. I don't know. I feel like I sound like some character. Anyways, this, I will try not to get distracted. So here's Venus. Yeah. We'll turn retrograde. And then this program, that's denoted by a red number. Also, my friends, I tried to take out the asteroids and some of the Kuiper Belt objects, but I couldn't figure out how, for some reason, my program wouldn't let me do it. So we're just going to have a big party in this chart today. I know it's a little bit more crowded than you're used to, but I'll try to keep highlighted what's going on where. And then just to say, you've probably heard Adam say this a lot or other astrologers a lot, but Venus will move through a square to Uranus in the beginning of August, retrograde, Venus in retrograde. Venus will also move through a square to Jupiter later in August. And those really color the retrograde cycle as well. One of the reasons I really like this cycle, especially in relationship to 2015, is Jupiter and Uranus were also involved in Venus's last retrograde in Leo in 2015, but not by square. Uranus was by trine and Jupiter was by conjunction or close conjunction. So the squares have a much more sort of action-oriented energy to them. Squares in the ancient system are the nature of Mars. And so they kind of catalyze you and get you going. So that's why I also like with the square to Uranus, there's like, you know, what am I feeling the imperative to take action on totally new, innovative, out of the box, revolutionary, never thought of it before type of ideas can come up with the square to Uranus. And what I love about the square to Jupiter is that that helps put everything back together. Jupiter is, one of the biggest words used for Jupiter, especially in the ancient system, is coherence, cohesion. Jupiter tends to want to pull things together, right? I'm a Sagittarius ruled by Jupiter. I'm always synthesizing in my head. I'm taking little bits of information and putting them back into a sort of coherent narrative, finding a pattern, those sorts of ideas. So I think that the square to Uranus followed by the square to Jupiter, both Uranus and Jupiter are in Taurus, so a nice, stable, industrious Earth sign, really, really helpful for, you know, working out some of these Venus ideas that might arise through her retrograde, all right? So, all right, I hope you will all bear with me here. I am going to put Aries on the ascendant and start taking you through this retrograde cycle. So let's go. There's Gemini, and there's Taurus, and there's Aries. Okay, so my Aries risings, let's see. You're going to have Venus turning retrograde in your fifth house, squaring Uranus and Jupiter and Taurus in your second house. You know, on the surface, this just speaks to me about creativity and money, right? Two simple things. We fuse the fifth house and the second house together. Venus retrograde in the fifth house might be asking you to consider, are you enjoying and are you creating things that are of value to you? The fifth house is Venus's joy in the ancient system. Generally has to do with things that are pleasurable to us, that are enjoyable to us. It can also relate to your children as well, for those of you with children. And how Venus is retrograde, right? As we sort of review those Venus topics in Leo, which oftentimes have to do with relationship to self and relationship to other, how we feel as an independent being, but also being in relationship, and putting that into a sort of friction, but action-based focus with Uranus and Jupiter and Taurus. So, you know, this could be something as simple as like supplementing your income with an Etsy shop, right? Deciding that you're going to take photography and on the side, you're going to sell it. You're wanting to make something that is deeply enjoyable to you, something that also provides you with some financial well-being, maybe an increase to your finances. And with the square to Uranus too, maybe in a way you never considered, right? You know, some people, we sometimes think like we don't have something creative to offer, but then Uranus can come along and be like, well, did you ever consider that what you do here, even if it seems like it's something more mundane, like the way you, you know, teach law, or the way you, you know, teach accounting, you know, ideas of careers, we may not think it was necessarily creative, but you might have a creative way of teaching or creative way of relating to your clients. So I think it's a really awesome retrograde for seeing like, where are the things that you give value and you enjoy? How can they, in really interesting and innovative ways, come together to create a supplement to your income, or even just boost your sense of self-esteem and self-worth, which I often find go hand in hand with the second house as well. So that's what I have for Aries. Now let's see if we go forward. We got Taurus on the ascendant. We're moving Venus into the fourth house, and Venus is retrograde into the fourth house. And we have Jupiter and Uranus in your first house. So right here, I would see, what do you value from, or what are the values you inherited from your ancestry, your family of origin, and how are those contributing to the way you see yourself? And as Venus goes retrograde and you review maybe unconscious beliefs, unconscious ideas, inherited sort of belief systems from your family system, especially around the Venus-like topics, right? Around relationships, around art, around creativity, around the value of all of those things. How it starts to reshape your sense of self, right? With Uranus in your first house, that's a dramatic reinvention of oneself. It's a very Madonna-like, type of placement where, you know, you're sort of reinventing yourself. And then Jupiter, again, as Venus makes that square to Jupiter later in August, how you sort of put the pieces back together in a new form, right? So how you, as you sort of dig out some of these ideas of your values, particularly that you may have gotten from your family of origin or from your ancestry, from, especially in the fourth house, a lot of times the dad, the father side of the family, how it helps you reinvent yourself and the way people see you in a really sort of prominent and very noticeable way. Remember, this is happening in Leo and you have Jupiter in your first house. So that makes it all kind of prominent. All right, so that's what I got for my Tauruses. Now, let's move on to the Gemini risings. So this puts Jupiter and Uranus in your 12th house, and we have Venus retrograde in Leo in your third house. So right away, what I would say with this for my Gemini risings is that Venus moving retrograde in your third house is going to ask a lot about what you value in your everyday environment. And maybe what you have valued that is now, with those Pluto ideas I was talking about at the beginning, maybe have valued and now is kind of past its expiration date. It's kind of not really working for you anymore. It's starting to smell, right? So as you move through or those third house ideas about what you value in your environment, it will most likely in the 12th house with Jupiter and Uranus, as Venus makes those squares to Jupiter and Uranus, will help you re-understand your own psyche and your own subconscious, right? Maybe places in your psyche, in your subconscious, in your blind spot, in your own perception, where when you start to see those spaces, it helps you realize, like, whoa, I actually really want to change my environment in some way. I no longer want these things around me every day. I want to redo what surrounds me because I have a different understanding of maybe some of the places where, in the 12th house where Jupiter and Uranus are for you, that can be a place where we're taking actions unconsciously. And we don't realize we're even sort of getting in our own way. And as we begin to recognize those ideas, our environment and the things we value in our environment begin to change. So that would be what I'm looking out for my Gemini risings with Venus. And now let's go forward to Cancer, or as we say here in Boston, Cancer risings. This is going to put Jupiter and Uranus and Taurus in the 11th house, and it will have Venus retrograding in your second house. Okay. So, Cancer risings. This to me is about money and interpersonal relationships. Taking a greater command of sovereignty over your money and valuing it, and especially as that is in relationship to in the 11th house where Jupiter and Uranus are, your social and professional networks. I could easily see a situation here where Jupiter and Uranus in your 11th house bring you a very innovative and big opportunity through your networks. It comes through social media, comes through friends, comes through professional networks, that sort of idea. And it asks you to maybe not immediately increase your income, but take stock about what you value about your money. How you relate to your money. Those are Venus ideas, right? How you think about your money. Maybe it's a new job or a new networking opportunity that calls into question beliefs you've had about money that at the end of the cycle in September helps you move forward with a greater sense of sovereignty in how you approach your money, right? So I like this a lot for Cancer risings in that sense of like really taking ownership of finances, but letting yourself also receive the blessings that come from Jupiter in your 11th house from community. And Jupiter is in its joy in the 11th house too. So it's a wonderful, wonderful placement for Jupiter in terms of receiving the benefits that come through networks. So that's what we've got for Cancer risings. All right, here we go. Leo risings. Here we go. Oh my God. All right. So I'll try not to impart too much from my own life on this, but this is basically for us as Leo risings, my friends. This is how we value ourselves and what we value for ourselves and how that relates to how we are seen in the world in our career. So it might be a revamping of values in Venus, the idea of what you value in terms of money, how you value the people in your life. How you value yourself, right? How you value your body, how you value your psychology, your emotional state. And that contributes to a sort of radically new, powerful, strong, prominent way you see yourself in the world. You see yourself in the world and how you move forward in your career. It could be something about understanding that you have, what you have to offer the world has great value, maybe you've devalued it for a long time. And that enables you to move forward in a much more abundant way in your career, new opportunities you may never have considered, moving forward in your career in a way you may never have considered. Maybe feeling like there's some things you just got to take care of to get your career moving in a different or bigger or more bountiful direction that are coming to the surface now with Pluto kind of giving the gong strike to the beginning of this, being in the gong strike in the beginning of this retrograde. So I really like this as a sort of reinvention for Leo risings, but really think about that idea of how do I value myself? Am I valuing myself? And how is that contributing to me bringing bringing that into the world, in my career, my job, the way I'm seen in the world? So that's that relationship between the first house of Leo and Jupiter and Uranus being in your 10th house of the career and the sort of the public persona. All right. So let's move forward to Virgo risings. Put Virgo on the ascendant. This puts Venus retrograde in your 12th house, and it puts the squares to Uranus and Jupiter and Taurus in your 9th house. So this is really interesting to me. You know, it's a personal thing, but as I see squares between the 9th house and the 12th house, it brings in the more spiritual aspects of the 12th house to me. The 12th house can be a place of self-sabotage. It can be a place where we're in our blind spots, but it also is a place that was associated with contemplation, solitude, the ability to be like, if you went on a silent meditation retreat, that would be very much a 12th house type of idea. Okay. And the reason I say I'd see more of the spiritual aspects of this is the square to the 9th house, which tends to be a house that focuses a lot on religion, spirituality. It can focus on higher education. It also is the place of foreign travel. So if I put this together for you, my friends, I would say that Venus retrograde in the 12th house might show you that you have some values or things that you value that you haven't let yourself value, that you haven't even seen that you're suppressing, or you maybe are not valuing as much as you could. And that Jupiter, especially in the 9th house, is sort of a wise teacher-like figure that can help you reassert and re-understand your sense of value. The places you're sort of getting in your way and your unconscious that are preventing you from enjoying, from being, from having a full sense of like, I have the ability to fully inhabit and enjoy my life. But really getting support from, you know, Jupiter in the 9th house, you could see this being taking a workshop with a wise teacher. This could be just a conversation with a wise, maybe a wise older friend. This could be also something that comes from overseas, you know, as the 9th house, definitely with Uranus in the 9th house too, suddenly comes from overseas, or you take an overseas workshop or an overseas retreat of some sort. But it has the idea of like a spiritual revelation, usually coming from a more solitary place that you may not have seen, that is brought about by the counsel of a wise teacher, those sorts of ideas. That's what I got from my Virgos. All right, let's go on to Libra risings. This puts Venus retrograde in Leo in your 11th house, and the squares to Uranus and Jupiter in Taurus in your 8th house. So this really is a lot about, to me, other people in your life, how other people see you, how you connect with other people, your ability to rely on the bounty and the resources of other people. And I think especially as Venus moves retrograde in Leo and squares Uranus in your 8th house, some maybe sort of revolutionary or innovative or never having thought of it before ideas about how you can be in relationship to other people's resources, right? And how those resources can flow through your networks. You know, and Jupiter there tends to speak of like an increase in those other people, you know, the other people's resources. One thing I will say, having just had Jupiter in my 8th house too, my friends, is this could be a way with Venus retrograde in the 11th of, let me see how I put this together. Venus having, having you take a stand on what you value And that, with Jupiter in the eighth house, helping you release some soul contracts that you've held in place. Venus helping you to, hang on, my phone's going out there. There we go. Okay. Venus helping you with this square with Jupiter later in August, enable you to move forward and go forward in your friend groups towards things that you value, while also having put down or made peace with soul contracts that no longer serve you, connections that no longer serve you. When you feel a lot of times with eighth house stuff, there's a sense of credit and debt, right? I owe you, or you owe me, just kind of being like the debt is forgiven and I'm deciding to move on. Those sorts of ideas might happen with those squares to Jupiter and Uranus as well. All right. So let's go forward now to Scorpio rising. This is going to place Venus retrograde in Leo in your 10th house and put Jupiter and Uranus in your 7th house. Okay, so basic 10th house, 7th house relationship here of your career and your romantic relationships, or the way you view relationship or in relationship, those coming into really into view during this retrograde. I could see a scenario here where you meet somebody new, or you're in a relationship with someone who has abundant resources, maybe resources you never considered you would have. That would be Uranus. That's a sort of surprise factor. And it allows you, Venus retrograde in your 10th house, to be able to reestablish your values in your career. Maybe, you know, your partner gets a raise, or, you know, there's an increase in their ability to bring resource. And it allows you to take a little time to step back and reevaluate your own career in that sense, or what you're valuing in your career. I think for Scorpio rising, it's really important to see with this Venus retrograde, are you doing something you believe to be of value? Is it really contributing from a place where you think you're offering something people will say, wow, thank you. That really made an impact and a difference with me. And your skills, Scorpio rising have an enormous capacity to work with people in some of their toughest spaces. So those would be some questions I'm considering there. You know, and I also think with like a 10th house, 7th house square, what you value, Venus retrograde, where you're reconsidering that, might come into a little bit of conflict with, what's going on with, you know, what your partner is valuing. You know, with Leo, there tends to be prominence. With Taurus, there tends to be stability. But with Jupiter there, I think there's a way to work out a happy middle that actually furthers the growth of the relationship. Jupiter tends to do that. So it's like, okay, well, you're here and I'm here. How can we come together, and how can we sort of figure out a way that goes forward and that benefits both of us? That sort of idea. All right, Sagittarius rising. This puts Venus retrograde in your 9th house in Leo. Jupiter and Uranus and Taurus in your 6th house. That's where the square will be happening. I think that this speaks to, Sagittarius is a Sagittarius sun. We run on hope, right? And I think Jupiter and Uranus in the 6th house are probably asking you to go through and ferret out some places within you that might be more difficult, right? The 6th house tends to be a place where there's conflict. It can feel like there's like work that always needs to be done, but it's good work. You know, it's kind of good, honest work. And when the work is done, the work is done. And so I would say with the 9th house, where Venus is retrograde, squaring the 6th house, an idea of going over what you value in terms of your beliefs, in terms of your spiritual beliefs, in terms of what you think about your education and your maybe higher education, or, you know, certifications, degrees, those sorts of things are 9th house ideas. And maybe a time where you're considering, with the squares to the 6th house, digging in for a little while to do some hard work around those ideas. It could easily be something like, you know, deciding to go back to law school. That would be a real easy picking for the 9th house, 6th house with Jupiter in the 6th house. Going back for a degree, but you know it's going to be a slog to get that degree. It could have to do with foreign travel, you know, with Venus in your ninth house, of going on, you know, valuing taking an adventure that might be challenging, but ultimately rewarding. Those are some ideas that come up for that. But, you know, I really like for you Sag risings that we have Jupiter, which is your ascendant ruler, in the sixth house, because Jupiter tends to make the sixth house a little bit easier. The journey that feels like it will never end, we know there's hope to get there. And, you know, Sagittarius, we got to run on some hope, right? Was one of our great strengths. Can't be our weakness, but is one of our great strengths as well. All right, let's go for Capricorn risings. So here we have Venus retrograde in your eighth house with Jupiter and Uranus in your fifth house. I would say with this one, this is one of the where I would offer just a word of caution first. Be mindful with Venus retrograde and Leo in your eighth house of taking on a lot of debt if you can avoid it. Taking on big obligations or financial obligations that look good and shiny on the surface, but then all of a sudden are like, oh shit, did I really want to, you know, sign on the line for that? It's a little bit, you know, like Mercury retrograde-ish type idea, which is, you know, kind of read everything really carefully of any sort of financial agreements you're entering into at this time. But you also have Jupiter squaring Venus, Uranus squaring Venus during this retrograde process from your fifth house. You know, I would say what occurs to me just as a Capricorn rising and kind of intuitively here with these houses is, do you feel guilty about valuing things that are enjoyable to you? And Capricorns tend to have, you know, they enjoy things. I think we have this image of Capricorns as sort of like hard-nosed and, you know, just, you know, nose to the grindstone. But, you know, there can be some guilt with Capricorns a lot of times about doing things that are enjoyable. And are there relationships or are there ties in your life, whether they're present friendships, whether they're, you know, from your past, that hold you in a place of feeling guilty or that you're obligated, or you have to sort of pay for the ability to do things in your life that you really enjoy, right? You have to sort of exchange for it. And maybe evaluating like, you know, I just have the ability to value things that I value and they're enjoyable to me and they bring me a lot of joy and I can just enjoy them and I don't have to feel like I'm obligated or indebted to anybody because I do that. That would be an eighth, fifth house idea I would see with that for the Capricorns. All right, let's go to Aquarius. Aquarius. All right, so this is going to put Venus retrograde in your seventh house. You couldn't have a better place for Venus retrograde to reconsider and think about relationships, and Jupiter and Uranus in your fourth house. Okay, so what I would say here is, Venus retrograde, what do you value in relationships? What are your values in relationships, in other people, in your romantic partners? What are the things, you know, and really go digging under the surface for this one? Like, you know, I value loyalty, commitment, stability, fun, thrill, whatever it is, but I value these things. And maybe there's a couple things I would say with the square to the fourth house, that those realizations about your values may contribute to a feeling of greater bounty and coherence in your home life that comes after the square to Uranus, which is a real catalyzing moment of realizing, oh, I never knew I wanted this before. I never knew I valued this before. I never knew I understood this before. And then as Venus moves through the square to Jupiter, this idea with Jupiter of bringing it back together in a more coherent form that helps the base of your life, your home life, your private life feel a little bit more orderly. That's the Jupiter aspect of it. Could also easily be like, you know, rediscovering values you never knew you had that contribute to you individuating out, especially in Leo in your seventh house, from those values in relationship from your family of origin. That could also be a relationship between the seventh house of Leo and the fourth house of Taurus. So I go for the Aquarius risings. All right, and now let's go my Pisces. Last but never least, Pisces. I love you guys. I love you all. I love every sign. But I always feel like Pisces goes last. And so I always just want to give a little shout out to Pisces. Like just where you are in the zodiac, man, right? That's nothing personal. All right. So this is Venus retrograde is in the sixth house. So the third house squares to Jupiter and Uranus in the third house. Okay, let's look at this. I would say for Pisces, this would be a place where you might have to make some more difficult or longer decisions to take some longer, more long-lasting work around what you value, how you value it. And I think really important with the sixth house, how you hold your self-value and your self-esteem. You might think of that as a second house issue, but I've seen this with people who have sixth house planets a lot. There's a sense to want to diminish yourself with planets in the sixth house. And then how that, you know, as you realize, like, I don't have to diminish myself. I can be on equal footing with people. I can help people be on equal footing with, you know, me. I want everybody to be on equal footing with each other. That's a very sixth house type idea too. That it changes your environment. That's this Jupiter Uranus down here in your third house that's squaring Venus retrograde. That it maybe shifts what surrounds you every day, how you surround yourself. Maybe it could be something as simple with the third house as you decide that you're going to take a stand for the values of a community and you stand with that community. That, you know, the third house, especially if it's local around you, it's kind of in your neighborhood, you're in your local area. It could be something, sixth to third house could also be something like if you live in a condo association, like you take on a role to advocate for something. So there's a sense of fairness within the association that comes to a greater sense of coherence or re-understanding in a really positive and wonderful way by the end of the retrograde, given Venus's squares to Uranus and Jupiter as she moves through. So I like this a lot for Pisces. But I think, you know, particularly with Pisces rising, you have Saturn in your first house right now, you have Neptune in your first house right now. This would be a retrograde where I think of what do I value? That's Venus retrograde. And how am I going to advocate for that? How am I going to feel like I'm on an equal footing with others? I want to bring others to be on an equal footing with me. I don't want anyone to feel left behind or marginalized. And how that reshapes your immediate environment. That's the third house in Taurus. So that's what I've got for all of you, my friends. I hope this was helpful. Here, let me stop the screen share. I really enjoyed being here with you. Again, Adam will be back. But this was really fun to share this with this community. I hope it was helpful. I hope you got a lot of these interpretations. Again, you can check out Adam's work at www.nightlightastrology.com, his readings, his wonderful classes. And just as a shameless plug for Adam, I am a graduate of a few of Adam's classes. They have reshaped the way I do astrology, and they've absolutely changed the way that I see see astrology and the way I'm able to show up for my clients. So when they come around, they are incredible, comprehensive, really well put together classes. He's a really good teacher. And then if you want to check out my work, www.alexamorosi, AlexAmorosi.com. You can check me out for astrological readings, intuitive readings. You can check out the combo work that I do with both of those. And you can also check out my spiritually based life coaching work. That's all on my website. You can also book and schedule readings from there. I wish you all such a wonderful Venus retrograde in Leo. And thank you all for being with me today.